Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome to our special show here today on Circles of Change with members of the Life Planning Network and their new book, Live Smart After 50, The Expert's Guide to Life Planning for Uncertain Times. We'll go right over now into the Plan B or Extended Career Space with welcoming Carlene McKay and Elizabeth Craig to the show. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Elizabeth Craig.
Hi, Elizabeth. Nice to meet you. Let me give a brief introduction. Elizabeth is a Master Career and Job Search Specialist. She's president of ELC Global, where she assists stuck and frustrated young adults, mid-career professionals, and those over 50 in finding and landing fulfilling opportunities. Elizabeth, as well, is a creative contributor for the AARP Jane Pauley's Today Show series, Your Life Calling. Since its very beginning, it's a series that features people over 50 that are reinventing themselves. Actively involved in numerous professional and philanthropic organizations, Elizabeth has written numerous articles, curriculum, and books, including a book on business etiquette that won a National Midwestern Book Award. Carlene McKay, she instructs individuals, coaches, and organizational leaders, promoting the competitive advantages of mature professionals and an experienced workforce. An ever-traveling speaker and writer based out of San Francisco Bay Area, Carlene is the author of Plan B for Boomers, The 50,000-Mile Checkup, and has authored or co-authored a half a dozen books. She's fluent on the subject of overcoming the problems, subtle and otherwise, of bias towards older workers, and is frequently asked about how to manage a career. Carlene is the AARP Workforce Advisor, author, and owner of Ageless in America. So here we go, ladies. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to know, just before we start specifically in your area of expertise, what it was like for 30 puppies to stay in the box to write this book, Live Smart After 50.
It was lots of fun. Carlene, take it away. You were the
chapter author. I thought it was a nightmare.
You thought it was a nightmare.
I know. It was lots of fun. Collaboration is great.
Right. Well, that's what we say publicly and privately. We're thinking, can't we ever get this done, right?
That's it. And however, with this group, I will tell you, they are such positive people to work with, Sarah, and really have made this as easy as any book I've ever been involved in. So kudos to the leaders of this and to the chapter leaders and the editors, because it really has been a wonderful piece to be a part of, too.
Well, and I think our listeners need to appreciate that any time you put two collaborators together that have a common goal, and that is to incite knowledge and also cause some other ripple effects, that there's other things that you're vested in doing. So while the book is important and this is going to be a vehicle to get out to the greater world what all of you so believe in, who knows what you've all really given birth to here? Wouldn't you say so, Elizabeth?
Oh, definitely. This Live Smart After 50, when all of you know the collective wisdom by all of the experts are in this book, it is just amazing, because we have really covered so many topics in this that you would have to read multiple other books in order to get everything that's in this book by all the experts right here.
I would say, Carlene, so this is for the younger generation, too. So this is the cliff notes to this stuff, right? As rich as it is, it's a speedy read. No, but it is. It's a very easy read and lots of resources. Carlene, why don't you start us in that whole direction? Let's just call it for what it is. That I hear this a lot from my clients, too, that are on more of the wisdom and maturity category, is the whole area about age bias.
Well, it's interesting. The first thing I ever wrote was a set of myth cards about how to deal with age bias, because whether it's true or not, it's perceived to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when we look at all of us who've grown a little older, we know that it's a challenge, if only in our own minds. So you can ask me specific questions, if you'd like, about some of the most common age biases. I'd be happy to respond.
Well, you know, I think the one is that I can't get in because I am over X. And I know that I tell my clients, you have no idea how many companies realize that with a good preponderance of their baby boomers retiring or renaissancing, I'll say, over the next 5 years, they realize they don't have the base, and you might actually be the ideal fit for an opportunity. So how you help people get away from that perception that's holding themselves back?
Well, it's part of the strategy that we wrote about in the workplace issue. We have challenges and we have barriers. Challenges are things we can overcome by having a strategy. Barriers are things that we typically have to learn to do differently or better. So we address it, but basically, if you don't have a strategy, you'll be caught in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like one example, it was kind of great. One of my candidates was being interviewed, and the person actually asked them, "How old are you?" And if you think that's unusual, it's not.
It's not, right, even though it's illegal, yeah.
It doesn't matter. It gets asked or it gets thought. So in this case, it was asked, and I thought her answer was precious. She said, "How old do I have to be? I thought I was old enough." And so she used humor, and for some people, that works very well. For others, they have to have a different answer, and they must think about it in advance and have a strategy around it.
That's sort of like those years when you'd get carded, and you'd, at one point, you'd be really offended that you carded, but you, at some point, you'd cross that juncture where you want to jump across the counter and give the waitress a hug for having carded you.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Well, Elizabeth, the work that went into this particular chapter really focuses on work that works for you. Again, you and like Carlene do a lot of advising, supporting people through opportunities to become to really fulfilling opportunities. I wanted to ask you, though, what did you learn by doing this chapter?
Oh, there are really three things that immediately come to mind when you ask me that question, Zara. The first thing is the importance of being a continuous lifelong learner.
Yeah,
I always have been. I'm taking courses all of the time, and I'm really glad that I have been, and I really encourage all the listeners to continue to do this for their career as well. It is more important than ever. And I have two more items to share with you, Zara, but I want to insert here, if there is one certification that I find specifically helpful to my clients, it's project management.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
that is all across the board. You probably find this, too, mm-hmm. with the clients you work with. If you're running a kiosk at a mall, if you're a corporate executive, and project management just seems to supersede and cross all of the lines and be really helpful to people who want to work in today.
Well, and if I might insert, though, if you're not gifted in what it takes to do that, I mean, it's one thing to take the class, learn the skills, possibly muddle through a software if you're so inclined to learn it. But if you can't, if you're not gifted at it and love to do it, then plan B, of course, is go find someone who does, because love it and they'll partner. And actually, you'll be viewed as the genius for having delegated it to them when you're really going and wiping your brow saying, close call, I don't have to do that stuff, right?
That's right. What has been really great about that particular arena, though, is it seems to be helpful for people to take courses, too, like you that are might be outside their comfort zone,
sure,
because at least they learn something about the language, because
mm-hmm.
even a management in particular places, I know they will take the course just so that they understand the language better, so they are able to interact. I still remember when I took my master's in business, and I come from education and being an educator to business, and I still remember I had used at that time overhead projectors and slides and
sure.
everything like that. Suddenly I'm sitting in the class and it's like they were using a different name for the thing I had used for years. So
mm-hmm.
it's often learning the terminology. Another thing that I want to mention of what I really learned in working on this chapter and from the clients I've worked with is that leadership is often spoken about in relationship to running an organization. And what I am seeing more and more and more, and we're talking about this here as well in this call, is that self-leadership and each individual leading and directing their own development to reach their unique potential is just critically important to work and life today.
You bet. And, of course, Carlene, that's at the core of the anchoring points I know you share, is that first and foremost, you got to have your own act in place.
Yeah. Absolutely, you do. But, you know, back to learning, I learned something a little different throughout the experience. And I said, you know, it was kind of brutal, but it was really worthwhile in two or three ways. The different coaches, consultants, and writers work in all the different sectors.
Right.
So you had people who were coming from education, coming from the public sector, and a few of us exclusively from the private sector where most of my work is done. Keep in mind that in the private sector today, in the U.S., regardless of age, the average length of employment is something under 3 years. So having a strategy is critical. You're not going to have your last job at 60. you're going to have to look further as to other ways that you can work. And that was a large part of the learning for me. And the other thing, Elizabeth and I were talking about this earlier, different markets, different challenges.
So she's
from Minneapolis, and I'm from actually up near Placerville between Sacramento and Tahoe. I tell you that because that's the beginning of the Inland Empire in California,
where
unemployment's at over 20%.
And agricultural base as well, so you've got the technology factor playing in.
We've got a lot of problems here that maybe you don't see in Minneapolis, but each market, and that was part of my learning, was the different markets, different strategies I learned from other people who contributed to the book.
Well, I think the other thing you two also get involved in, and you use the words look for work, and we've mentioned earlier about interviewing, and which I sometimes feel falls into auditioning. But there's a whole other element for people over 50, and that is this idea of you creating something. And, oh, by the way, creating something that fires on multiple cylinders, not just the either or the or.
Absolutely. And, by the way, it is auditioning.
Yes. But it's a matter of how much you can control your audience, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, it's a matter of responding to what the audience expects, not what you're having to say alone. But you know that when you audition, you know, you get engaged, not necessarily hired, if you meet their need.
That's right. And the idea of what is your value proposition then, so they say, we've got to make room for this person to join us.
Right.
Well, I'm speaking at this point with Carlene Nakay and Elizabeth Craig. They're two of the 30-plus contributors that all pitched in to do the new book, Live Smart After 50, and that is indeed the name of the website. You can also learn more about the collaboration they're a part of. It's a nationwide movement called the LifePlanningNetwork.org. Elizabeth, what attracted you to get involved in this network?
I am one of these people that just loves to be with great people in various arenas. And as I said earlier, being a lifelong learner, I could just really see that this organization really brought people of such great expertise that I wanted to be a part of it. And I served, in fact, for the Life Planning Network as their national, really international program chair and actually webinar host as well. One of the things I really want to mention, Zara, is really another and one of the hugest benefits, I believe, as being a 50-plus worker is really the network that people who have been in life longer, they have such a wonderful, diverse network. And this is just tremendously beneficial. Quickly share an example of a client I've had just in the last 2 months. He had lived in Minneapolis, then on the East Coast. I actually should tell you I'm in West Palm Beach, Florida right now speaking, so your audience base is even larger than
That's
what
right.
you announced
Great.
Earlier, Zara.
Absolutely. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so we're on all coasts and in between.
In between.
Yes, but he had worked in the Twin Cities and relocated to the East Coast because of his wife taking a position there, and he had a handyman business that he had, so he was self-employed essentially, and then also a stay-at-home dad later in years, but is still a stay-at-home dad with their child. And it happened his wife then took a position recently back in the Twin Cities. And when he went back to the Twin Cities, he said, yeah, I could keep doing what I'm doing, but, you know, I'd really like to get back into the corporate world. And within such a short amount of time, and this is one of these situations where he had kept his network from college, even though he was away, he kept in contact. And when you hear that, and mature workers will say to me, everything's, you know, online applying, I don't have a chance, I'm just not going to get in. He actually, if you look at the LinkedIn profile and you look at the position he was going after, you know, some people would say, oh, this can't be possible. But everyone is a unique experiment of one, and things happen every day with the clients I work with that are so amazing. He, within 2 weeks short time, because he knew some people within, he kept those connections, they put in a good word for him, he has landed a position as a corporate sales associate. Now, it is just amazing transformation, and you were talking too, Azara, about creating positions. It can be done because there are positions in the workplace that have been eliminated. Companies now realize they've eliminated positions that they really need, and they are looking for you out there. So.
Well, the other thing is they consolidated with others, thinking that both could live copacetically, and that necessarily wasn't the case.
Exactly.
Carlene, let's go a little bit further on this idea of diverse networks. Wouldn't you also say, or I know one of the topics is that a network doesn't mean you just made a connection on LinkedIn or you've kept a business card. It's that you've been in relationship with people. people. And many times, those of us more senior or more wise to the world in that understand the investment that takes, the authenticity to move on it.
Well, I'd agree, and you pretty much said what I would have said, but the relationship is far more important than most people think. And so, for example, I'm speaking in the Sacramento region next week to 300-400 people who belong to a network. Mm-hmm. And they use it exclusively to try to leverage each other into jobs that no longer exist or that are so materially changed they don't exist for them. Right. It's the wrong use of network. Relationship says, let's figure out the future together and help each other in many ways instead of just trying to do what we've always done and, as the saying goes, expect the same results that we've always had.
Well, I think the other piece, and I think probably both of you would have found this as well to your clients, is that sometimes continuing to network with the same people that have served you well in your past, while they may not be doing it overtly, subconsciously they could not want you to change and thus wouldn't know how anyways to guide you into those new windows of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Carlene, the commotion that the book has gotten so far, Live Smart After 50, give us a sense of what kind of feedback you've received already.
Well, I wasn't on the editorial team and tracking all of it, but I can tell you that locally, there is a big buzz about it. And people are starting to say, well, it's about time that somebody was thinking of 50 as a vital time of life. It's not a book for any age, really. It's a book that you could sit here and say, this works for everyone, to start learning about how life is going to be as our lifetimes extend. But the feedback is fabulous. I mean, 10 out of 10 for certain.
Yeah, that's right. How about you, Elizabeth? Have you gotten any interesting emails that took your breath away or kind of stumped you and said, ooh, I wasn't expecting that?
Oh, yes, both within the professional community and regular people who are hearing about it too, they are really excited about it, and it already has climbed on the charts on Amazon for being just released. So it's really wonderful. I think it's like everything, the people involved in this are very positive people, and when you stay positive and keep things growing and moving and reach new markets and are being able to be on your radio show today, just really helps all of us. So thank you.
That's right. My pleasure. Carlene, I know one of the topics you love to harp on, I think I'm the same space, is that we need to retire retirement.
Absolutely.
Why don't you run with that?
Well, you know, it's I don't know what retirement is. I've never understood it. I will tell you my age because I don't think of it yet. I will when I grow old.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm 74. I work full-time. But I work in ways that I never dreamed possible.
Lovey.
And what happened was that when I developed the strategy, the 8-point strategy, I followed it. And something wonderful happened. And that wonderful something is that my best career is now.
Yeah.
And I think that when you look at retirement, to me it always sounds like, Elizabeth uses the definition, retire, if you look at Webster's, actually will tell you, if anybody looks at Webster's anymore instead of online, would actually tell you that retire means to go to bed.
Yeah, that's right. Passive.
And to leave life behind is abhorrent. In fact, I'm also widowed, so I'm giving you a little personal anecdotal history here. Because more and more of us are divorced. 57% of Americans are divorced, according to some statistics. And many of us are widowed. What do you do with your day after you've cleaned the garage? Come on. There is much more to do. And by God, I'll say it even that way, in this economic time, there's much more we can do for the youth of today.
Yes.
And we should at least be thinking about what we leave behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, well put. And I would think, I have fun when people mention the R word, as I say. I said, now, let me be real clear. The R word to me is renaissance, not retirement.
Good. Well, I'm going to retire someday, but not yet. Only, as I said, when I grow old.
That's great.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth.
Go ahead, Zara.
No, please. Elizabeth, I was going to say you want to, I'm sure, pitch in on this one.
Well, yes. In fact, when you were using the R's, we could say reimagine, reinvention.
Yeah. Yep, sure.
In fact, Jane Pauley's Your Life calling team, and there you'll see new segments will be coming. And I believe they're using reimagine, so Your Life Reimagined. So they're, you know, reinvention is definitely the key here. And what I really find with the people when they're, you know, seeking employment or work and putting together a portfolio career, which is very common today, so that people are able to be using multiple of their motivated skills, mm-hmm. is really persistence. And recently, one of the clients I had, he had moved from another metropolitan area to then another metropolitan area, and he had gone on 14 interviews, all of which were a perfect match. And he thought he did a great job, but he didn't land one of those 14. And so each time, you know, really staying positive is just so important in all of this. And holding on to, I like to, my acronym for HOPE is holding on to peak experiences. So then you remember in interviews and you're speaking to really speak about those positive things. On his 15th interview,
yep.
He landed it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know this from your work. Yeah. And it actually is the best. Of all of the ones,
of course, because actually the other rejections weren't roadblocks to tell him to stop. They were signposts to go in a different direction.
Yes,
you're absolutely right, Carlene. That same type of idea of the role of persistence or the idea of resilience, but also the idea of being still and reflective and letting things come to you.
You've asked the wrong person. I'm never still.
That's why I did ask it of you, by the way, to see if that's one you've ever tried.
I haven't. No. In fact, I don't think I introspected about anything until I was about 50.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
and then I asked the question, why am I here and what am I doing? You know, that's kind of that middle, if you want to call it a midlife question. And it was only then that I reflected that there was more to do and that a lot of it looked like a lot of fun. May I give you one example? And
please.
It reflects on the book.
Please.
One of the books that I send out as a gift was to the head of the Kapuna Center at Kapiolani College in Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
And said, please read this. I think you'll find it useful. Kapuna means elder center. And they help people through all the mid to older stages of life. Anyway, what that resulted in, I have an invitation to speak there at their expense. So what I tell people is, don't look at everything in the light of the past. Look in the light of the future. I wanted to go to Hawaii.
Right.
One book sent to Hawaii resulted in an invitation. And, you know, I always say to people, there's something there for you. It's not the same. It's not the trip to Hawaii. But there's something there that perhaps you haven't thought of. Back to why we have strategy, so that you open your mind and do reflect.
Well, and in fact, it's like I said earlier, it may not be about the book at all for all 30-plus of you. It's going to be this other energy, these other streams that you're going to trip and trigger. Or, like you said earlier, Carlene, your opportunity to impact youth. Whatever youth means, oh, by the way, to step in and recognize their opportunity to live a legacy, their opportunity to shape a life that would fulfill them and so on.
It's in fact, that's the other side of my work is to work with the youth because 50% of them aren't getting, and by youth I mean middle, high school, and college, aren't getting the jobs when they get out. And it's because the market's changed, the world's changed, everything's changed, and we're still doing the same old thing. You know, to bear repeating the same old thing I just said, expecting the same results. It doesn't work that way anymore, and it doesn't work that way for the 50-plus or for the 30-plus or for the 10-plus. It just doesn't.
Well, and I think, Elizabeth, I'll jump on because I know she's sitting there with her word positive in front of her. This is actually a time that speaks to wonderful opportunity if you're willing to go and jump on some of the things you women have already mentioned. Lifelong learning, being open to other perspectives, getting a sense of community, listening to the non-conventional, so we say, to do it. Our book, again, that we're talking about today in all four segments is Live Smart After 50. Go to livesmartafter50.com as well as the Life Planning Network. Org that both Carlene and Elizabeth are a member of. So tremendous resources and energy and really good frameworks to work from. In fact, the book itself has a sense of a workbook, although you might want to partner it with a journal to go along those ways. Elizabeth, let me and ask both of you this question. How do you think you've changed by helping others lead change?
Well, this is Elizabeth, and I've been spoke about that a little bit earlier, but really that importance of people, I would say sometimes drawing a line in the sand so that then they can move on. So the letting go so they can move on. The other thing I realize more and more for everyone is really knowing your core foundational values. People think they do, but it's interesting until they actually take an assessment and look at it. On page 78 of the book, there are resources, free links, to be able to do that, as well as your motivated skills.
That's right. Carlene, how about you? How do you think you've changed in the process?
I can say it simply. The big change for me is that I now really see opportunity in every threat.
Yeah, love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, ladies, for contributing to our segment here. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.